Good morning. It is a Friday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Shartok. Let's start with what's happening now with Israel and Iran. From the New York Times this morning, a shadow war burst into the open as Israeli warplanes struck Iranian targets in Syria. It was a furious response to what Israel called an Iranian rocket attack. Cross-border exchanges, the most serious from each side over Iran's presence in Syria, took place a day after the Americans withdrew from the Iran nuclear accord. Just what you were talking about yesterday, Alan, the risk of the Trump foreign policy moves.
Well, it is extraordinarily risky. Trump makes his move. All of a sudden, war breaks out, basically, because it is war. They're bombing each other between Israel and Iran. And this, of course, could be what everybody has been afraid of for a long, long time, which is a major war breaks out. Now, you can be sure that based on Trump's standing behind Israel in every case here, that the moment that it escalates, the United States is going to be on the side of Israel against Iran. And that is where the greatest danger of all lies. In the meantime, David, there are people who are talking about the dangers of all of this escalating into basically a world war, because you have Syria, which is a friend of the Russians. You have the Russians who have nuclear weapons themselves, and there are people who are talking about what? About a Nobel Prize for a president who threatens us to lead into this kind of confrontation? Yeah, it wasn't perfect by any means. Yes, the Iranians are not good people, but that doesn't mean you poke the pig. Because when you do that, there are consequences. And I don't know that this president ever thinks about the consequences for what he does. In other words, as has been said by so many commentators, there is no plan B, except if, in fact, what you want is an all-out war and to test what you have. It's fascinating because the Israelis have an iron shield. They've been able to knock down every missile that has come their way, and they have been flying with impunity into the Iranian strongholds in Syria. And they could be, in fact, getting ready for all-out confrontation. The Israelis can't do it alone, that's for sure. We've seen this in the past. They're a powerful, powerful force. But in the end, if they're going to take on Iran and maybe Russia, you better believe the United States is going to get drawn into this. And this is a very scary situation.
Well, you referenced the Nobel Prize, and that's, of course, for President Trump and North Korea and the negotiations. He announced yesterday that his summit with Kim Jong-un will occur June 12th in Singapore, a high-stakes step in his bid to curb the rogue nation's nuclear weapons program, another risky venture.
Well, we do know that the leader of North Korea, Kim, has gone to China a second time, extraordinarily, and flown this time. We do know that he will fly to Singapore, and we do know that the Chinese are obviously on board with this. It is hard to say you should give a Nobel Prize to somebody who has solved this issue when, in fact, the potential for a nuclear confrontation of an all-out war in the Middle East engendered by the moves of this president are possible.
Soon after President Trump took office, says the Washington Post this morning, AT&T agreed to pay $600,000 to his attorney, Michael Cohen, for helping on issues pending before the federal government, including the proposed Time Warner deal. That's according to internal documents, they say.
Well, the question here is not what AT&T or any other company is doing. They do what's best for themselves, obviously. They go to somebody with political connections who is hawking his wares with them. It is not pretty, but it is the way that government works. On the other hand, if in fact it can be shown that Michael Cohen has used his position not only to get himself business, but to get things done in the federal government when the specific contract with all of these people seems to be that you don't lobby and that you can't lobby the executive branch. If it turns out that that's so, I think Michael Cohen is in a very bad place, which of course leads to the eternal question, it now seems, will he flip on the president?
Finally, Rudy Giuliani has exited his law firm, he's stepped aside, and his firm is sort of telling a different story than he is.
The mouth that roared. Rudy Giuliani obviously had problems in his large law firm, a New York law firm. So the partners didn't like it. They kept telling him they didn't like it. Apparently, according to the cables, they kept telling him to keep shut. He didn't do it. But he got into real trouble, David, over the issue of we lawyers do things without our clients knowing about it. He's had to walk that one back because he risks censure and disbarment and everything else because lawyers are not supposed to do that. And his partners have made that clear. And my issue with Giuliani has always been, you know that I've been talking about this, how can you be a lawyer from somebody else when your main client is yourself and your mouth? It is the mouth that roared.